Hey, you want that to go?
We got some takeouts on the news here on Stories We're Following. And first up, we've got a takeout from David Shepherdson. He's the Washington Bureau Chief for the Detroit News. And today we're talking about the X Prize. It's always great to check back in with this prize, David. This is a $10 million competition.
Yeah, it's been around since 2006. And it seems hard to believe we're finally getting to the competition. But starting this summer, 41 teams with 51 cars are going to be competing to see who can build the most fuel-efficient vehicle and one that gets at least 100 miles per gallon or the energy equivalent of that.
Is this kind of a gimmick competition like those solar car races?
You know, it was a little bit, I think, but what they point to is the Ansari X Prize to build a private spaceship in 2004 that actually led to a couple of companies being purchased by other major aviation companies. And I think it is a chance to have entrepreneurs and college teams show that, you know, there's a lot of innovations yet to be had in the auto industry.
So this competition, as you said, it's asking for cars that can break that 100 mile per gallon barrier. And that's kind of a magic number in the industry.
I agree. I think it's a number that people have thought about for years, frankly. But think about where the industry has come in just 4 years in terms of the big push on fuel efficiency and electric vehicles. You know, GM is going to unveil its extended range Chevy Volt. Nissan has an all electric Leaf. So I just think things like the X Prize have helped push the industry in this direction. And now we'll see who actually, after all these years of working, who's going to be the best and who's going to finally win the prize.
Okay, so this X Prize competition, the 2010 X Prize, at first when they were talking about it, it was going to be across the nation. They were going to have you racing from state to state, but now they've decided to place it in the Motor City. Is that significant?
Yeah, I think it's significant for a couple of reasons. I mean, Michigan has lost about 25% of its manufacturing jobs. In fact, it's lost about half of all of the manufacturing jobs that the U.S. has lost since the recession began December 2007. So Michigan's governor, Jennifer Granholm, and the state have really focused on trying to get more green jobs here, wind, solar, turbines. And part of that strategy is to get new auto companies to come here. And so I think by having the companies here for starting in April and the entrepreneurs through the end of July, they hope to make a big sales pitch to say, hey, come here when you want to scale up and actually start building these cars. And I think it reminds people that Michigan for 100 years has been where the bulk of automotive research and engineering has been done. And it's probably good on the publicity side as well as to try to, you know, encourage some of these people to bring some more jobs to Michigan.
Well, but David, I have a little problem with the logic of the X Prize. I mean, $10 million is kind of a drop in the bucket. Right. And if you could actually get a 100 mile per gallon car, I mean, that'd be worth billions and billions. It's almost like saying, if you can come up with a cure for cancer, we'll give you $500. It seems like the incentive is already there.
Clearly, it's not about the $10 million. It's about the publicity you get and the fact that there'll be a big ceremony in Washington in September with government officials. I mean, this has been heavily endorsed throughout the government on all levels. So, yeah, you're right. It's not about this $10 million check. Now I can build my new factory. It's about all the great publicity that comes with it.
David, I got to ask you, we got announcements from GM, Chrysler, Ford, Toyota. Did I miss anybody? Mercedes-Benz announced at the auto show yesterday that they're going to be actually adding jobs this year. Do you think that's a result of the millions of dollars of funds coming out of the government as part of the stimulus package?
Absolutely. I mean, the U.S. government has spent over $100 billion on the auto industry this year, and there's a big push for more fuel-efficient vehicles. The government's willing to give companies, you know, hundreds of millions in cash grants that don't have to be paid back on top of loans. So, you know, absolutely, the government is putting money in and the companies are creating jobs.
It's working the way it's supposed to, which is, I guess, some form of success. David Shepherdson's the Washington Bureau Chief for the Detroit News. Thanks, David.
We turn to you for our next takeout. Yesterday, we got more in-depth on the racially tinged comments of Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. He reportedly said that then-candidate Obama was electable because he was, quote, light-skinned and had no Negro dialect unless he wanted to have one. There was a wide range of reactions, like the people who were skeptical that he was a racist.
I'm Dan Turner from Mesa, Arizona. I just want to say that racism, to me, is to utilize race color, ethnicity, skin color, to belittle, demean, disempower someone on the basis of such characteristics. How did Senator Reid do that?
But Veronica has an idea. She writes on our site, thetakeaway.org. I struggle daily when confronted with this glaringly ignorant notion that all black people emerge from their mother's wombs predisposed to speak a Negro dialect. It's an insult to all black people, especially those raised by parents who've upheld strong family values, sound morals, good education, and have fostered a positive self-image and sense of self-worth.
So there were several of you who wanted to, in a sense, deconstruct why America actually voted for Barack Obama. That's what Sheila did.
Calling from Texas, I don't believe it's because of him being light-skinned, because the truth of the matter is that he's still black, and everybody saw that when he was being elected. I do believe it's because he's well-spoken and he sounds very polished. That contributed to it. But for the sake of his, you know, color, I don't think it really made a difference. But
meanwhile, David in Washington says all the finger-pointing is getting in the way of what he says is something much more constructive.
I think what the gentleman said about the president is an opportunity to discuss race. Why can't we come to the table and talk about it like intelligent human beings? Otherwise, we just keep putting it under the rug, sweeping it under the table, and we'll never get around to it.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.